Hey Barons, welcome back to another Barons 101 podcast.
Hosted by your favorite peers Lillian,
Penelope,
and Vivian. Today, we will be discussing how the conversion of a ruler named Jinga Azuwu to Catholicism is significant in world history.
The reason why this event is so important is because Jinga Azuwu was the first royal family of Congo to convert to Christianity, which affected the leadership of their government, the Columbian Exchange, the Atlantic slave trade, and the triangular trade between the Americas, Europe, and Africa.
So, let's travel back to the past, shall we? Jinga was the first Christian ruler of the Congo. He was baptized by Portuguese priests, and his Christian name, João, means John in Portuguese. He, his wife, and other members of the local aristocracy were also baptized. King João I was succeeded by his son Alfonso, who was also a Catholic. This West Central African former kingdom, known as the Congo, was founded in 1390. The capital of the kingdom was Mbanza, Congo, and it was heavily populated. The Manicongo, also known as the King, kept close by the centralized state. The Portuguese arrived in 1483. Jinga was the Manicongo at the time. In 1491, both he and his son Mvemza Azinga were baptized. They assumed the Christian names João Jinga Azuwu and Alfonso Mvemza Azinga, respectively. The Congo had Christianized. Alfonso extended the Congo's borders and forged strong ties between the Congo and Portugal. They had disagreeing views regarding the slave trade. As a result, in 1526, Alfonso adjusted the system to ensure people were not illegally enslaved and exported. Alfonso died in 1542, and the Congo was overrun by rival warriors in the east. In 1891, a revolt against Portuguese rule and complicity of the kings triggered the collapse of the Congo Kingdom, which was then fully integrated into the Portuguese colony of Angola. Now, where does this leave us? Well, this matters because when the Portuguese arrived in Africa, Jinga, the leader of the Congo, and his son were open-minded to Christianity, which was newly introduced to them. This influenced later changes in their government and society, such as when his son became ruler and formed a bond with Portugal. This event exemplifies the expansion of communication and the exchange of ideas between these countries.
Thank you, Vivian, for that very informal background. Now, let's get to our main segment. As we talked about the conversion of the royal family, we should really be asking, why did they convert in the first place? The main reason for the conversion of the royal family is because of the Portuguese's influence. In the late 15th century, early 16th century, Europeans and Africans were peaceful for the most part due to the trade that was going on between the two groups. The real reason why the conversion of the Congo royal family is so unique to our world history is because it's the first time that we really don't see forced conversion of Christianity brought upon by the Europeans. We do see this in the past where the Europeans will force Christianity towards other groups of people, like the Native Americans, who are forced to take on the faith. But the leaders of Congo leave the arrival of Christianity with welcome, open arms. Now, in 1482, Diogo Gao was a Portuguese explorer who sailed the Congo River with some of his men. Now, he left some of his men, and in return, he took a couple of Congo noblemen back to Portugal in 1485. Now, when these noblemen were in Portugal, they were taught the language, customs, and the Catholic religion. And when these noblemen returned back to the Congo to tell Nzinga, the ruler of that time, of the kindness that the Portuguese had shown them, Nzinga sent another group of men back to Portugal. Now, when they returned, these men, the noblemen, came back with Portuguese soldiers and a Roman Catholic priest. Now, under his free will, Nzinga asked to be baptized, and his nobles were also baptized with him. After the baptism of Nzinga, he changed his name to João. And then after his death, his son took over, who kept the Catholic faith going. And the rest of the upcoming rulers after him kept Christianity involved in the state. Now, King Alfonso extended Christianity from the court to the people and established Christianity as Congo state religion. And King Alfonso was Nzinga's son. Now, King Alfonso made this transition easier for his people by using regular religious terms in their community and their culture and put them as the new religious terms in the Bible. For example, like they changed God in the Bible to what they would say God in their religion. Now, the Catholic Church was not fond of this collision between their faith and Christianity, mainly because some of the Portuguese noticed that the rulers that took over after Afonso were not so pleased with the Christianity faith and wanted to change back, but the Portuguese did deal with these people. And some people might try to argue that the reason why the Congo converted in the first place was to make their ties stronger with Portuguese. Whether it's actual spiritual connection in the faith or not, the one thing that kept the Portuguese together with the Congo is their shared religion. And the tension that was later between the Portuguese and Congo was not because of the religion at all, but was actually because of the Atlantic slave trade.
Now, another big event taking place is the Columbian Exchange in 1491, which is 1 year before the Congo Christianized. When the Portuguese arrived in Africa, they brought their Kai Kong dictionaries, grammar, and many translations of texts. Later, slaves were traded to the Portuguese, and the slaves brought the cash crops, rice, and okra to the Americas. Hey, have either of you ever tried okra before?
No.
No.
I think it's similar to green beans.
Actually, the texture is quite different. Anyways, the Congo gave them some bulk products from the provinces too. Copper, salt, and wild animal products like ivory were traded with the Portuguese. In the 17th century, the abandoned capital of Banzo, Congo, was taken by the Antonians, a religious movement named after Saint Anthony, whose goal was to create a new Christian Congo kingdom. Pedro the Mani Congo, following Alfonso, reoccupied the capital in 1709. Now here's a connection. This provides that later on the slaves were inspired by Congolese Catholicism to revolt against slavery in America. The slave trade had strict rules here. Congolese subjects could not be enslaved nor women in a time of war. So Catholicism benefited the Congo to an extent, thanks to the Portuguese.
Well, I think it's time to wrap it up. What do you guys think?
Yeah, and to summarize, Nzinga's conversion to Christianity set the stage for the Congo's political institutions. The Catholic descent continued as Pedro Diogo Alfonso II and more succeeded his son Alfonso.
Although there were differing views between the Portuguese and the Congo regarding the transatlantic slave trade, Alfonso had a great impact upon it, saving thousands of people from being illegally enslaved and transported.
Special thanks to our trusty sources, history.info, britannica.com, congolese-atlantic-connection.com, and metmuseum.com.
Thank you to all the listeners who tuned into our podcast.
And we'll talk to you next time on Barron's 101 Podcast.